Everyone in the Missouri Center, please rise for the prayer by our chaplain, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
In the fourth chapter of Philippians, we hear, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say to you, rejoice. Gracious God, we hear the prompting to rejoice in you, that our lives are to be one of planned joy. So we do rejoice because the most rapturous moments of our life still lie ahead of us. We know that we will confront thorns and difficulties, but we also know that we will have times when your light shines through to us so that we are not in the dark. And because it does, we have the strong reason to rejoice and give you praise. Your presence and your guidance is a pleasure to us, and we confess our need of you as we deal with the challenges of this week. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown, here. Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, here. Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Keaveney, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaaf, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from Green. A quorum is present. The Senate is in session. Secretary, read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, second regular session, 29th day, Thursday.
Senator from 23rd.
Mr. President, I move further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion shall prevail, say aye. Those of the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Reading is dispensed with. Introduction of guests. Senator from Green.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's a tremendous joy and honor for me to have my daughter visiting with us today. She's going to be here all week. It was her idea to come up and spend some time with Dad. She's on your right and my left, and I'd ask her to stand. My oldest daughter, Grace, very pleased to have her with us.
Welcome the oldest daughter of the Senator from Green, Grace Dixon, to the Missouri Senate. Introductions, petitions, memorials, remonstrances, resolutions. Concurrent resolutions. Introduction of bills. Senator from Buchanan.
I have a bill.
Send it forward, sir. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 836, introduced by Senator Schaaf, an act relating to social service programs.
Senator?
It requires no explanation. Thank you.
Introduction of bills. Senator from 23rd. Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 837, introduced by Senator Dempsey, an act relating to franchises.
Senator?
No explanation necessary.
Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a bill.
Send it forward, sir. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 838, introduced by Senator Richard, an act relating to remediation of property in municipal areas.
Senator?
No explanation necessary, Mr. President.
Senator from the first.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two bills.
Send your bills forward. Read the first bill.
Senate Bill 839, introduced by Senator Lemke, an act relating to student transfers.
Senator.
No explanation, Mr. President.
Read the second bill.
Senate Joint Resolution 51, a joint resolution introduced by Senator Lemke, a joint resolution relating to nonpartisan judicial commission.
Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. This would restore balance to the Missouri Constitution between the branches and their balance of power. Thank you, Mr. President.
Introduction of bills. Senator from Clay.
Yes, Mr. President, I have two bills.
Send your bills forward. Read the first bill.
Senate Bill 840, introduced by Senator Ridgeway, an act relating to sales and use tax collection.
No explanation necessary.
Read the second bill.
Senate Bill 841, introduced by Senator Ridgeway, an act relating to raw milk.
No explanation.
Introduction of bills. Senator from 24.
Bob, I have three bills.
Send your bills forward. Read the first bill.
Senate Bill 842, introduced by Senator Lamping, an act relating to teacher and school employee retirement systems.
No explanation necessary.
Read the second bill.
Senate Bill 843, introduced by Senator Lamping, an act relating to temporary license plates.
No explanation.
Read the third bill.
Senate Bill 844, introduced by Senator Lamping, an act relating to the Public Service Commission.
No explanation necessary.
Introduction of bills. Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Photographers from KOMU have been given permission to take pictures in the same Senate gallery today. Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Announcements.
I ask you to recognize me for an announcement.
Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to let members know that Thursday is the last day to file bills in the Senate. Thursday, for those that weren't listening 30 seconds ago, is... Mr. President.
Senator.
Would you see if there are messages from the governor?
There are.
I would ask for a waiver of the reading and have them printed in the journal. I ask that they be printed in the journal.
So ordered, they shall be printed in the journal. For what purpose does Senator from Jefferson seek recognition?
Unanimous consent to introduce two special guests.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
Over here on my right, the... little maniac there. In the green shirt is my cousin TJ, and in the really calm person is my son, Kellen McKenna. I'd like the Senate to make them feel
welcome. His name is Keller?
Kellen.
Kellen.
Yeah.
Let's all welcome the guests of the Senator from Jefferson, including his son, Kellen. Hey, Kellen. Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will do the order of business of Senate bills for perfection, the formal calendar.
Senate bills for perfection, the formal calendar. Senate Bill 474, Senator from the 8th.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 474 be brought before the body.
You heard the motion. As many have observed, the opinion it shall prevail. Say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before us for perfection. Senator?
Mr. President, I now move that Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 474 be adopted. Mr. President, this bill just requires a photo on the EBT card. The substitute does three things. We use the current section of statutes instead of creating a new one. It removes the option for multiple names on the card, and it also mandates everybody over the age of 16 have a card of their own. be glad to answer any questions if there are any.
You've heard the motion from the senator from the 8th. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 10th, for what purpose do you rise?
To inquire of the senator from the 8th.
Senator from the 8th, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thanks, Mr.
Senator, I thought they might be calling you senator from Callaway County.
That's right. Soon to be the senator from, I noticed, the Missouri to the Mississippi River. So pretty exciting, huh? Senator, I'm sorry. When you were introducing the bill, I had a hard time hearing. Can you tell me again what it is that your bill does?
Sure. The bill would require a photo on the EBT card.
Okay.
I went over the substitute as well. The substitute actually changed. We currently, in the original bill, we created its own statute.
Uh-huh.
We went and put it back underneath the current statute, the language anyways.
Okay.
We also said that you didn't have to have multiple names on one card, and we put the fact that anybody over age of 16 would have their own card.
Okay, so, all right, cool. That answers one question I had. So why are you doing this?
I was in Walmart one day, and I had somebody walking down the aisle behind me and said, I've got such and such a EBT card, and I'm going to get so much food, and it goes to accountability for this.
Cool. And how much is it going to cost?
The fiscal note is pretty high, but what the fiscal note did is it didn't take into consideration that we already have photos on the EBT card for TANF. And so the mechanism that's currently, that they say in the fiscal note that's going to cost so much,
mm-hmm.
they already have to pay for.
Okay, so right now, if someone has a card that allows them to access TANF funds, which is Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, then it does have a photo on it already?
It's being processed currently because last year, I believe the senator from First had that amendment on a bill, and it adds a photo for the TANF benefits. We did not add the food benefit, the photo for the food card.
Okay, and then the one concern that I'd had some folks raise in my district was the issue of, sending your teenage kid to the store to get the groceries for you. And you're saying now that if there is a child for a qualifying parent who is 16 or older, that they will get their own card, and they'll all be linked, presumably. So if you get $500 a month in food stamps, then you can send your 16-year-old to the store, and all right, that makes sense, perfect. And then what did you say about multiple names?
We will not have multiple names on there. Each person will have their own card.
Okay, each person will have their own card, and then it's for 16 and older. Okay.
Correct. We did 16 because that was the driving age, and we figured if they were going to run to the store, they'd be taking an automobile.
Okay. Well, Senator, I have a brief amendment that I'm going to offer that I want to discuss with you. I think I need my, here it is right here. So I'm going to be offering that. But thank you for answering the questions. That covers most of the concerns that I have. Thank you, Senator. Mr. President?
Senator from the 10th.
Mr. President, I have an amendment.
Please send the amendment forward.
Mr. President, I would ask for a waiver of its reading. Mr. President, this amendment has not been distributed yet. I will not close on the amendment until everyone has received a copy, but I would move for the adoption of this amendment.
Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived. We will not vote on the amendment until everyone has a copy. Senator, would you care to explain your amendment?
Absolutely. Mr. President, this amendment relates to who is eligible for food stamps in the state of Missouri. This underlying bill, my understanding right now, has to do with food stamps. And here's the background on this. Right now, if you are convicted of a felony in the state of Missouri, you can receive food stamps once you get out of the Department of Corrections, unless the felony that you were convicted of was a drug felony. That is a federal law. States are allowed to opt in. So right now, the state of Missouri has decided not to opt in and allow drug felons to receive food stamps. We have heard this bill in several committees that I've been on over the years. We've heard testimony on behalf of the convenience stores and of the grocery stores and others who think this would be a good idea for obvious reasons. There'll be more money to be spent in their stores. And the bottom line is that right now we allow folks who have been convicted of things such as rape, murder, robbery, armed criminal action to receive food stamps, but for some reason someone who's been convicted of a drug-related crime is not allowed to receive food stamps. We've heard some pretty compelling testimony over the years that there is absolutely no reason that these folks should be exempted from receiving food stamps once they've gone through served their term, many of whom have gone through rehabilitation or back out there trying to get back into the workforce. And one way that we can actually reduce recidivism is to make sure that folks have the tools that they need so that they don't start reoffending. And this is one of the tools that the reentry community has said would be vital to helping with our recidivism rates in the state of Missouri. And so for that reason, I'm offering this amendment to this bill today. I'd be happy to answer any questions. And once again, I will not close until everyone has a copy of the amendment.
Senator moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 1st, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Could I inquire briefly of the senator from the 10th?
Senator, do you yield?
Gladly.
She does. Proceed.
Happily.
Good afternoon, Senator.
Good afternoon,
how are
Senator.
You?
Great.
I'm just curious. Now, if your amendment goes on to the bill, would that make more Missourians eligible then for the food stamp program?
It would, Senator, in the sense that there are certain individuals now who are not allowed to receive food stamps because of their conviction record. So, yes, it would make
okay.
more
And actually, as far as a equity and fairness, from that standpoint, I'd probably be supportive of your amendment. When I heard that in the Appropriations Committee, I was very surprised that a murderer can get food stamps, that's a Missourian, or a rapist can, but somebody that has a drug felony serves their time and then gets out of prison cannot. Okay.
Exactly, Senator. And as you might imagine, I've heard testimony from several folks over the years, some of whom have really, very, very compelling stories about when they've gotten out of prison, they're working their way back into society as taxpaying citizens, and they don't, frankly, have the assistance that others have available to them.
Okay.
And before you go any further, please don't offer an amendment that says anyone who's convicted of a felony. Please don't offer an amendment to my amendment saying that all felons should be banned from food stamps, because that's actually not the federal government's policy right now.
Actually, if I was going to do it, Senator, I'd do away with the entire program. But so this will add to the $1.5 billion that currently is being spent on food stamps in Missouri.
I don't know what's being spent.
We just heard it in social services.
I would absolutely defer to you on that. You're on the Appropriations Committee, and I'm not. But yes, I would assume that there is a fiscal note attached to this.
Okay. In all fairness, no general revenue, because there's no general revenue in the program other than what we spend to administer the program.
Sure.
But it is $1.5 billion with a B that we spend on the food stamps program. And by the way, Senator, I'm sure you know this, it's not in the budget anywhere. That's off budget.
Is that because it comes from the feds, or it's not on the federal budget either?
It shows up nowhere in our budget. So I don't know if it's in the federal budget, but it doesn't, which is kind of unique because, roughly a third of our budget is federal dollars, but all those dollars are somewhere in a budget. Except for food stamps.
Is that the only one?
I'm sorry?
Is that the only federal program, pass-through program?
Yeah, to my knowledge, it's the only one. And so I always like to, remind people that, beyond the $8.5 billion that we spend on welfare programs in the state that you actually see in the budget, you can add another $1.5 billion onto that number. So this.
Yeah, I don't doubt that at all. I've read a lot of articles recently about the just dramatic expansion of food stamps over the past decade or so. It's my understanding that under the George W. Bush administration that we just had our last big inflation, and that was all done, I don't know how many years ago it was now. I mean, actually, the senator, 2 years ago now? 2002, okay. The senator from the 4th and I were actually going over an article that was in the Wall Street Journal in January about the expansion, and we were interested to see that one of the reasons, and this is nothing about what you're saying, it's a commentary on what our military families are paid, but one of the huge expansions is the number of folks that are active military right now, and their income is so low that they actually qualify for food stamps.
That's shameful.
I agree.
That's shameful.
I agree.
Thank you, Senator, for the
Absolutely.
Inquiry.
Further discussion? Senator from Howell, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, if I get five standing, I'd like a roll call.
Senators requested five standing. The senator from Howell has requested a roll call. Are there five standing senators? One, two, three. Senator, there will be a roll call on this amendment. Further discussion? Senator from the 14th, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I'd like to inquire of the senator from the 10th.
Senator, do you yield?
I do.
She does. Proceed.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. Senator, you know, this bill was heard in one of the committees that I sit in, and, you know, it's a big deal to even hear this bill and then go back to my district and talk about it.
Well, oh, Senator, I'm sorry to interrupt. Which bill? The amendment I've offered or the senator from the 8th?
The underlining bill.
The underlining bill. Okay, got it.
Yeah, because when we deal with, you know, photo IDs and all that, we get hypersensitive.
Sure.
As Democrats, you know, so I went back to my district and I started asking some of the retail folks at my grocery store how this would impact the day-to-day business. And I also, when I was in the line with one of my constituents, also who happens to be a councilperson in Pagedale, both my grocery store person and my councilperson said that this would have a negative impact. Now, my councilperson in Pagedale said, I realize what this bill is trying to do, and I'm all for it, with the exception of those families that have really difficult situations. So I wanted to just talk to you about some of those difficult situations that families may be in. So there's one in particular where the parent is trying to recover from being on drugs or something, and they are unable to, because of their situation mentally or whatever they're going through, go to the grocery store and actually get food for their four children. I mean, my grocery clerk said that, as well as the council person. And many times what happens in these communities that are, you know, hypersensitive and dealing with a lot of social ills, what ends up happening is that a family member takes the card and buys groceries for the kid.
Yep.
Or the kids. And so I didn't realize that, and apparently it had been a big deal, because in our culture, and I can only tell you about, you know, cultures of color, is that family network is very, very important. And when there is a person who has had challenges in their lives, a lot of other people who may be cousins or grandmas or grandpas or whatever try to do the best that they can to provide for that next generation. So when my grocery clerk told me this, that there are a lot of people who come into the grocery store trying to help their families, and then you know, that comment was underlined by one of my council people, you know, she was all for it, but with the exception, there are people who are trying to take care of their families who take those cards from them so that they can provide for, you know, three or four children. And I completely and utterly understand that. And they're not doing anything that is illegal. They're trying to provide for those needy kids that are in the household. So I'm a little bit concerned about this bill moving forward. Really, because we're not identifying some of the things that happened. I will also say that in committee, when we were discussing this, the senator who has presented this bill said that he saw this happen like once. And so, you know, how many times does this actually occur? How many times does it actually occur? But I don't want anything to happen for those people who are really, really struggling, who are trying to take care of their families, extended families. I don't want anything negative to happen to those children. You know?
Oh, I totally agree, Senator. And, you know, it was interesting because the same issue was brought to my attention in my district. One of the women that I talked to quite a bit in the district, and I think actually probably most of us here in the Senate have talked to her, is Sister Berta Saylor from Operation Breakthrough, which is the largest public, basically, daycare center. And I say public, but I mean it's open to everybody. It's through private dollars, frankly, that keeps the doors open because our child care subsidy rates in this state are so incredibly low that most of the working moms in her child care center actually don't even qualify for the subsidy. And frankly, I mean, those that do, the numbers are so small that it's a very, very small part of their budget. But she talks to me a lot about issues in the poverty community. And one of the things that she pointed out to me was a lot of times you have moms who are in school, who are working, who are sick, who are caretaking for more people than you could ever possibly imagine, and they need a teenage kid to run to the store. Now, that's great. The senator from the 8th has actually fixed that. And what he's done is he said that on these cards, that every kid in the family who is 16 and older will get their own, and that's phenomenal. That solves that problem. But then the situation comes up where maybe I need my sister to run to the store and get this for me because all of my kids are under the age of 5 and I can't leave the house. Or how about this? I don't have a car and I can't get to the bus line from where I am because I don't know about St. Louis, but in Kansas City, our public transit system is this big now compared to where it needs to be. People can't get to work. They can't get to the grocery store. They can't get to their places of worship, the doctor, school. And so you've got people who are in a situation where the only thing they're guilty of is being poor. And they can't get to where they need to be to get the food back home. And so they need their sister or their mom or whomever to go to the store for them and pick it up. But then today when I was talking to the senator from the 4th, I realized it's not just single moms. Mm-hmm. It's not just those who are without transportation. We started thinking about, apparently there was an article in the Wall Street Journal this last year that said one of the reasons for the explosion of food stamps in this country is because the number of military families who are now on food stamps, mm-hmm. which, like I said to the senator from the 1st, that's a commentary on what we pay to our military troops, and it's not acceptable, and I totally would support, you know, obviously anything to make sure that those families are taken care
of. Absolutely.
But if you've got a situation where you've got a mom who's back home, taking care of the kids, living on base while her husband is in Afghanistan, and she's, you know, got a full-time job or two or three or whatever it is that she's doing, and she's a full-time mom, and she needs her mom or her sister to run to the store for her to pick up their groceries because she just flat out doesn't have time. Or maybe she needs to get to the doctor herself because she's got the flu. What is that woman supposed to do? These aren't people who are trying to scam the system. Now, did the senator from the 8th hear what he heard and saw what he saw? I bet he did. Because everybody has one of those kind of stories. But I would argue that those are the exceptions and that the majority of folks are using these in exactly the manner in which they were supposed to be used. And that there's really no reason, I would argue, to have the increased cost of putting photographs on all of these new cards when in reality, you know.
Well, that's exactly right. Well, let me tell you about an experience that I had. And I mentioned this in committee. When in 2010 I went to Iraq during the second democratic elections, and when we were in Jordan, we had a conversation because there are a lot of Iraqis that live in Jordan. We had a conversation about the ID cards that Iraqis have, and it is the ID card for every program you can ever imagine, and the entire family is listed on it. The entire family is listed on the card. So at any given time, an individual, if there was a kid who was 14 years old who needed a service or something, he was on the card. And it was okay for him to go ahead and proceed in getting his service. And, you know, I understand that process. That's Iraq, you know, that those are the Iraqi people. They have this program to make sure that every single person in that family can receive the benefits of Iraq. And I completely understood that. And I mentioned that in conversation in committee, and I realized that the senator who is sponsoring this bill tried to make some adjustments for for the other family members. The age 16, I don't think I'd go for that so much because, you know, 12-year-olds, you know, they may walk to the grocery store.
Sure.
Or something, and they may want to get something, and the mom may be in a really difficult situation, maybe at work, may be in, you know, whatever circumstance, but at that point in time, that child can use that card and then go to the grocery store and get whatever they need. So what I'm looking for is, and I don't know what the answer is, and I've been thinking about it for the last month. I think it's been about a month since we heard this bill. And I don't know what the solution looks like. I know that this is not the way that this is written. It is not the solution. Because in, and I can tell you from the Black community, we believe in the extended relationships. There may be a second or third cousin who is helping us out, helping a family out, so that those kids get the resources that they need. There may be a next door neighbor who comes to the attention to resolve the needs of a family. We never know who those people are.
Sure.
And just, again, being a school board member, I can tell you, oftentimes our counselors in the schools, they go above and beyond so that they can take care of these poor children. So I want in these cards, if there's a picture ID, I want everyone, and I don't know what that formula looks like, I want everyone who pays attention and helps a needy family that has one of these cards to be able to use the cards to help the family out. I mean, if we're including the counselors, then, you know, I can name you some, I can give you stories, you know, of kids who come to school, and the first thing that they do on a Monday is drop off, you know, like old things that their counselors gave them. On a Friday, they're going home with a bag of food that their counselors gave them because they have nothing to go home to. And so when you're dealing with a family that's already in need, they have a card, and there's someone out there who can actually use the card mm-hmm. to go get food for the family. I want those kids to eat because, you know what, on Monday, they're going to end up going back to class.
Yep.
And you know what? There are too many of our kids, our Black children, our minority children, who are being challenged at every single different level. I mean, whether it's socially, economically, they're being challenged. And to not have food in their bellies when they're trying to learn, I mean, we just have the ACTs. You know, the number one thing, there are two things that are so important when a kid takes the ACT. One of the things that's important is that the kid gets sleep. The next thing is that they get a well-rounded meal, dinner and breakfast.
Yep. And the reality is that when we talk about all of these education reform issues out here, and we talk about, I mean, everything that we talk about, none of it makes any difference to these kids if they're sitting in the classroom hungry. I mean, it
doesn't matter. It does not matter. So here's what I hope. I know that the senator who sponsored this bill is very serious about this issue. I mean, we have a conversation of photo ID and everything, but it's not the way that this bill is formatted right now is not answering the needs of our real families that are in at least my district. I can't talk about your district or the senator from the 4th or the senator from the 11th, but I can tell you about my district. I actually went out and started asking people about these cards and photo IDs.
Exactly.
Because I was really concerned about
exactly.
it. And I mean, being in a multi-layered position in terms of being on the school board and being a state senator, I mean, it really concerns me that families cannot be fully provided for. I mean, even the grocery clerk said that she helps out one of her family members because there's an issue. One of the council people in Pagedale says that she knows one of her family members that goes and gets food for the four children in the household because there's so many other issues happening with
exactly.
the parents.
Exactly.
So
and you know
what do
Senator,
we do?
You know what's frustrating is, And I said this already about the only thing that these families are guilty of is being poor, and I mean it, because the reality is that middle-class families who do not have access to food stamps do the same thing. They send, you know, their cash or their debit card or whatever with a family member to run to the store to go get what they need when they can't make it to the store. But because the method of payment is different, because these people are poor, we are singling them out. And it's ridiculous.
Senator, I don't even want to tell you about the number of state workers that are on welfare.
Well,
I mean, the number of state workers, seriously, I mean, I have not been more appalled. All these years I've been here, and I've looked, I couldn't even fathom that state workers are on TANF.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Making $20,000 full-time, $20,000 full-time with kids, and they're having to decide what they're going to pay for. Now, we have a high demand. I don't expect, you know, any of the work that our state workers do to be diminished with the need of, you know, going to grocery store or whatever. But let's just say they're working really hard on behalf of our state and the general public, and they need Auntie to go to the grocery store, you know, and get food for the night.
I know.
You know, Auntie is going to go get food for the kids because Mom has to work and get the kids to school and go to the parent-teacher conferences, blah, 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 et cetera. And then, you know, Auntie says, I'll do this for you. I'll pick it up for you so you can do what you need to do and get home. I mean, I understand the complexity of that.
I get it.
I think in today's environment, what people have to endure and just go through, the wraparound is so difficult. I mean, it's so, so difficult for so many people. And I just don't want to create that barrier.
I agree, Senator. And, you know, this is... I understand the impetus and the motivation behind this bill, and I'm respectful of that. But the reality is that this is more than that. This is an attack on this particular social program. And you know what, Senator? You know what the best social program in the world is?
I say Social Security.
Well, I'm going to say that the best social program in the world is a job.
Yeah.
Get a person a job. Allow them to have access to transportation so they can get to their job. Make sure that they're... kids have a place to stay. That is the greatest social program in the world.
Absolutely.
But instead of standing out here on the floor and talking about jobs, instead of not coming back, you know, we had that miserable, extraordinary session or whatever it was where we weren't able to get any jobs done. We could have come back here January 1, 2, 3, whenever we started, and we could just start talking about jobs. Let's create some jobs. Let's get some jobs for people, as opposed to worrying about the fact that they've got pictures on their food stamp cards. It just doesn't make any sense. And so why aren't we, I mean, truly, if this is the number one priority or the number top five priority for the state right now, then all right, fine, we should talk about it. But the reality is it's not.
It's not.
We need to talk about increasing revenue for the state, mm-hmm. and if we need to do that through tax credit reform, then let's talk about tax credit reform. I don't care. Let's talk about
tax credit reform every day. I stand by this. I have said again and again that I support tax credit reform. I voted for tax credit reform last year. I believe it's a good direction, our liability. The senator that sponsored this bill talks about our $2 billion of liability. I wholly agree with that senator on that point. This is something that is very small. And as you brought up, we have more people in the military who are utilizing this than ever. So let's say, you know, dad or mom, whichever one, is in military, goes off to second tour, third tour in Afghanistan, wherever. And, you know, I realize that mom may be on it or kid may be on it, but what if mom is also working? Well, that's a huge possibility because we know that our military personnel aren't getting paid what they really should be getting paid. And so there's Auntie of the kids and the family who says,
yep.
Hey, I'll go pick this up for you. Don't worry about it. I'll do this for you. Now, that's a wonderful, close-knit family. Yeah, I believe that example is really what most of Missouri is all about, is taking care of your family. You know,
absolutely.
I understand that because
absolutely.
Things are very difficult these days. I mean, they're very, very, very difficult. I have a constituent, Arthella Cullum. Two things. 3 weeks ago, she found out one of her four children has cancer. And a week ago, she finds out at school district level that one of her kids is being mistreated. Now, she's been struggling in her life. I see her at the grocery store. I see her everywhere. Everywhere I go, I see Arthella. everywhere. And I know if she couldn't make it, if she could not make it to that grocery store, somebody would for her because her family is close-knit. And, I mean, if the kid is 16, that's one thing, but what about the kids who are 12?
Sure.
Who live down the street? You know, and they could walk across the street. I mean, I have that Snooks right around the corner from my house, and that's the meeting place for everybody, frankly. But, again, it doesn't resolve the issue of the complicated situations that families have. You know, you can't just draw a picture of what the family schedule looks like.
No.
Because family schedules look like everything. Everything.
Absolutely. It's unbelievable. And, Senator, I know this is in your inquiry, and it's based on the underlying bill, but I was curious, are you familiar with the issue of the amendment that I've offered? Are you familiar?
I'm trying to look at it. I know it has nothing to do with what I've talked about.
Well, no, but I mean, in a sense, it does because we're talking. It is different, but it talks about just kind of the unfair nature of our certain programs that we have right now. Because I don't know if you're familiar with this, and I've learned about this issue through our reentry programs. Catholic charities over on our side of the state, in addition to some of the anti-crime groups and some of the reentry groups, are working with community of ex-offenders, which is a big community. We put a lot of people in prison in the state of Missouri. And so as you might suspect, there's a lot of ex-offenders who are back out in the community. As a matter of fact, Senator, as you know, I take the train to and from Kansas City every week, and every week, when I get on that Amtrak, I'm on there with at least one, if not a handful, of guys, it's always been guys so far, who are getting out of the Department of Corrections and they're heading back home. I mean, we have a lot of ex-offenders at home. And right now, if you pled guilty to or were convicted of a crime that is related to possession of drugs, you cannot get food stamps in Missouri. Not because the feds say you can't, because the feds say you can. And as a matter of fact, the majority of states have opted into this program and said, we're not going to differentiate. If you're eligible, you're eligible. But Missouri's never pulled the trigger and said, okay, these people are also eligible for this program.
And you know what? Talk about recidivism rates.
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
And
you get a family that can't take care of their children, a person who can't take care of their family, I mean, things get difficult. We don't want them to do another crime.
And giving them the tools they need, like jobs, which, by the way, are really hard to come by in a regular market.
Have we talked about jobs this year thus far? I don't remember a bill where we talked about
jobs. No, let's see. We talked about ignoring the fact that there's a freight train coming our way in the form of a federally facilitated
the healthcare exchange. Program. Yeah.
We've talked about letting employers and employees be the deciders of what's covered by their health insurance when it comes to reproductive health issues, mm-hmm. including birth control and sterilization.
This ultrasound thing. Now that's a mess. We're in the process of writing something about this ultrasound of the vaginal area.
Oh, we're not going to talk about that
right
now. Yeah,
it's ridiculous. I mean, I know my constituents would go nuts over, they have gone nuts over that thing.
But I mean, the stuff we're talking about is not the stuff that we should be, it's not the hard stuff. It's not the stuff that, by the way, results in us having a special session later in the year because it rises to the, you know, we're just not talking about that.
Guess what I heard this weekend? I was hanging out with my mail carrier on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. And he said that Boeing is about in 2015 they're going to lose 3,000 jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Boeing in 2015. Now I know that I have plenty of Boeing people that live in my district, and I would want to make sure that all of these families have a pathway so that they can continue in their lives without too much difficulty.
Maybe we should be talking about a St. Louis Air Hub then.
We don't have anything in place right now. Now, in the new district, how it was designed, I would have Boeing. Currently, I don't. But I still do have Boeing families that live in my community.
You know what? I may have Boeing families in my new district, now that you bring it up.
You actually may.
My new district actually starts in Callaway County and goes all the way over to the Mississippi River, so I bet you I've got some Boeing families in there.
You probably do. And can I say, I was traveling down now. It's been nearly 12 years since I've been traveling down I-70 from St. Louis. And today, from 70, and I forgot the mile marker, but I see Callaway. You can see Callaway outside of my window, but I actually saw it from 70. And I thought it was so amazing, I wanted to tweet about it, but I couldn't tweet and drive. And so I thought about the pollution that's in our air. Anyway, that's such a random thought, but in our conversation about Callaway, I mean, it's still a job-building opportunity. Yes. And, again, I am concerned about those 3,000 Boeing workers who are going to be kicked out of their jobs in 2015. This is what my mail carrier tells me. So I really hope that we can put a program in place instead of talking about photo IDs for food stamps. Food! So kids can eat and go to school and learn. Duh. Duh. Duh.
Are you?
I mean, like, seriously, duh. I mean, I'm sorry, but I want every single kid that I'm responsible for, and I'm just saying as a school board member, there are 3,000 of them, but I have 8 school districts.
Yeah.
And these kids are suffering, and they're so, I can't even fathom some of these experiences that these kids go through, these families go through. They're dealing with freaking, if they're going to get Section 8, they're dealing with if they're going to be able to get a job, they're dealing with, like, people mistreating their kids at school, they're dealing with all of these exterior issues, and then at the end of the day, at the end of the darn day, they're just trying to pick up a roasted chicken.
Exactly.
You know?
I mean, and every other family has the luxury of doing that, unless your family needs to use an EBT card, and now we're saying that you can't do that. And I just think that's wrong.
Yeah, but I don't want to forget those state employees who are on welfare. We have state employees who are on welfare.
I did not know that.
Welfare. Learned that at least 10 years ago.
Wow.
I mean, it's a shame.
Well, it's my understanding, Senator, that we're near the, well, there should be no shock because we're near the bottom of the nation on a lot of things, but unfortunately, I've heard that the pay for our state employees is near the bottom in the nation. As a matter of fact, I've been in this legislature before when we've discussed bills about doing, you know, some, you know, hard looking at what our state employees get paid and how we can bring them up to where they need to be paid, because not only are they very, 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 you know, poorly paid on some levels, mm-hmm. on some levels, but now we've also dramatically changed the pension on the other end of it as well.
Yes, true.
And so we're really in a situation where the folks who are making the state run on a day-to-day basis are not being rewarded for their hard work.
That's
with no
true.
Sort of kind of hope that at the end you're going to have this pension, which is what they used to, people would go into state work for. It's like, well, yeah, I maybe get paid less than the private sector, but I'm going to have this. Well, the states can't afford to do that anymore. And I get that.
Same
I get
thing
that.
As teachers and firefighters. Same thing. They go into an industry where they know that they're not going to be paid very well. And then, you know, there's a change in the game in the middle of the structure. And they're like, are you kidding me? This is what I've always wanted to do since I was a kid. You know, be a firefighter, be a teacher, or whatever. And now what they're having to deal with is the promise that was made to them is no longer there. You know, it's no longer there. And that is really a sad testimony. But let me just tell you something else, Senator. Here's what I'm also concerned with. And that is the number of cases where people are committing fraud. You know, so you have, let's just say, some drug dealer or some pimp or whatever who goes into the grocery store with the person who holds the card, right?
Right.
So here's a loophole. So, okay, you have your picture in the card. And then, you know, Mr. Pimp or Mr. Drug Dealer or whatever goes into the grocery store with you and tells you what to buy so that he can exchange it for drugs. There's nothing in this bill that deals with that situation. There's nothing in this bill whatsoever that deals with that. It's a loophole. you know? So then we're making our grocery clerks the police. So the grocery clerk's mom is, and I forgot her name, I love her so much. I want to say Roxanne, but that's not her name. But I would say that they don't want to police. They're just trying to get people their product, you know, their food from the grocery store. I don't want my grocery clerk to start deciding, oh, well, this is a person who is misusing the card. Mm-hmm. You know, this is obviously a pimp or this is a pusher, and they're manipulating my customer. And I mean, I don't see that happening. I don't see that
exactly.
happening.
Well, that's one of the things that bothered me about the drug testing for TANF recipients is we weren't asking trained professionals in the substance abuse community to make decisions on who might possibly be using. We were asking the eligibility specialists who work at the division to make those decisions. And those folks, it's my understanding, the requirement to become an income eligibility specialist is the GED. And I think it's great that there is an entry-level position, you know, that is available for folks at the division, but the reality is that how can someone who has, you know, no special training whatsoever in substance abuse look at an individual and say, okay, I think this person's probably using, I want you to be tested. I mean, the possibility for abuse is there where, you know, that the worker might get a call and they might say, oh, you know, by the way, my cousin Joe's coming in for stamps and I hate his guts and he's using drugs, so you should test him. The same thing could happen at stores. You're going to have store clerks who might possibly know their folks and give them a pass, but then you may have store clerks who don't like a particular family. Mm-hmm. And the particular family comes in, and they know that the person holding the card, you know, it's still going to be abused because people abuse the system.
And then what if you're hooking up with the clerk? Now, I love my grocery store clerk. No matter how long her line is, I'll go through her line just because I like her. But let's just say another loophole is that there's some coordination with the grocery clerk and the people who are so-called trying to commit fraud. Well, there's nothing in this bill that establishes that kind of wrongdoing.
No, sure doesn't. There could be some big ring going on where everyone goes through Jane's line because Jane's known to let anybody through regardless of what photo's on there. I mean, the bottom line is that we've got in as many protections right now as the feds think we need. If the feds thought we needed pictures on this, they put pictures on it. And they just haven't. As a matter of fact, I thought that at some point one of the versions of the bill says that we have to get a waiver or something from the feds before we can even do this. I don't know if that's still in this
version. A waiver? Where is that? Where is this waiver thing, Senator?
And so, yeah, here it is, Senator. On page one of the bill, it's 474. And then maybe there is a Senate substitute. I'm not positive, but I don't have any idea. Is it just a Senate committee substitute, I guess? There's not a Senate substitute, is that correct?
Yes.
Anyway, I'm asking the wrong people. But anyway, it says here on line 7 on the first page, Senator, the Department of Social Services shall seek a waiver from the federal government to mandate the use of photo identification.
So the federal government doesn't do this?
No, we are seeking a waiver
So how many states do this?
I don't know how many states do it.
And what's the fraud?
And you may need to ask the, and I know that there are other senators who want to ask the sponsor some questions too, but not only do we have to seek a waiver to do this because the feds don't already do it, but it looks like, according to this fiscal note, that it's going to cost a ton of money. And that money will come from GR, I guess. This money is not, eligibility money doesn't come from GR. But I would suspect if we want to do anything above and beyond what the feds do, that will cost us money.
So
I'd be curious if anyone from the department is listening, if they could let me know whether we truly are already putting photos on TANF cards, and if we are, how much is that costing, and what would be
and how much would we lose, possibly? We could actually lose money depending on this. I mean, there's certain requirements that are given to us. As a state, you know, the federal government, you know, they want to make sure that there's access, you know, certain groups of people are not, you know, discriminated against in a program, et cetera. So I'd like to know if we're doing something above and beyond, stricter than federal, does that go to the Supreme Court eventually?
That'd be a good question.
I mean, I just, and how much is that lawsuit? I mean, that's, I mean, I hope that we're not entering into some legislation that's going to cause us to go through a lawsuit and spend more taxpayer dollars, because we don't have that money right now. I mean, we're trying to get people to jobs. At least I am. I don't know what bills we've listened to thus far that is a job creation bill or not, but I'd like to get my people into some jobs right now. And I certainly would not want to go into any needless lawsuits.
Yeah, I agree. And actually, Senator, now that we're sitting here talking about it and I'm digging into the bill a little bit deeper, I'm actually even more confused, and I'm going to probably need, along with some other folks, to ask some questions of the sponsor, because it says here, upon request, a household member or the household's authorized representative shall present the photo identification card at issuance points, retail food stores, or meal services when exchanging benefits for eligible food. How do you become a household authorized representative? That will be...
I don't know, but here's something I've always considered, if you allow me to deviate from this conversation. I've always wanted my constituents to use their card to go to the farmers markets and such. Have we gotten to that yet?
So here's how that works in Kansas City. We've gotten a couple of grants that have allowed the farmers markets to accept the cards.
Mm-hmm.
And actually in some, okay, no, let me back up. We've gotten some grants that have allowed the folks at the farmers markets to get the necessary machinery to work it. So that's the first good step. And so a bunch of our farmers markets in the Kansas City area have those. The cooler thing though, Senator, is, because I thought this would be a great idea, is that maybe you could get like double benefits or triple benefits if you bought from a Missouri farmer at a farmer's market.
Absolutely.
And I thought, well, what a great idea. I asked how we could have that done on the state level, and the only way we could do it is if the state picked up the excess, which we just don't have the money to do right now. But really cool, in Kansas City, and it was only for 1 year, but I'm hoping it gets extended, there were private corporations that gave grants to the farmers markets, and if you came in and paid with your food stamps card at the farmers market and you were buying produce from a Missouri farmer, mm-hmm. you got twice as much as the dollar value.
That's right. That's
it was
exactly
so
right.
Awesome. Yeah.
Do you shop at your local farmers market?
I do.
I'm there every single week. And let me tell you, so I've been doing my soups lately and my chili. So it requires all of these fresh vegetables.
Sure.
So I go there, but these are my friends that I've known all my life since I was a little kid. And I will tell you that our local farmers market, it is one of the most diverse places that I don't know if yours is like this or not, but we have Chinese, we have Russian, a lot of Russian immigrants in
Absolutely.
My area. And we have older African-American and Hispanic. We have absolutely everything at all ages, people who pay with checks and cash. And sometimes, it's amazing, sometimes my bill is a little bit cheaper than what I expect because I live on a budget just like a lot of people in Missouri.
Sure.
And I don't want to spend too much, but I want to make my soup, right?
Right.
And so I've always wanted more people to go to our local farmers market because it is a place, one, of community.
Sure.
I believe in the community of the local farmers market. I mean, it is where you can pick up all your gossip. It is where you can, you know, as we do campaign, it is a place where you find out, you know, like what is the latest. I mean, having star fruit is awesome.
Sure.
We don't get star fruit very often. But I want these families, because let me tell you something. A lot of these kids who are going into school, they're not eating their vegetables. They're not eating a well-rounded meal. And if anything, this conversation needs to be about access for those poor people who are not getting a balanced meal, not photo ID.
Oh, I know. We need to talk about more places to
nutrition.
Use.
Nutrition.
Yeah, nutrition.
Yeah, let's exactly have conversations. Right. More of our kids need to volunteer at the local farmers market and see what that's all about, what it looks like. You know, these people who run these farmers markets, they eat off of their food. Booker T. Washington talked about make for your own. I don't know if you know about Booker T. Washington or not, but since we're still in Black History Month, let's talk about Booker T. Washington, who believed in making for your own. He believed in making for your own. And when we have, you know, Black families who don't understand, you know, we are in a whole different environment and economic system that doesn't look like anything like what we've ever experienced but the Great Depression, we need to create for our own. And let me tell you something. You go to the farmer's market and you can get 3 green peppers for $1, whereas at the grocery store, you get 2 green peppers for $3.
Yep.
That doesn't make any sense. You get a package of carrots, and I obviously I know this, you get a package of carrots, you know, for $1.50. At the grocery store, it costs freaking $3.
No, I know.
You know, why don't we have a conversation about our poor families being able to buy at farmers markets? But we haven't had that conversation. We're not dealing with the needs of poor people, period. What we're dealing with is the so-called fraud. The so-called fraud. Well, I haven't seen any cases of fraud.
Senator, I agree. I mean, we need to be talking about access to fresh, healthy food.
And by the way, kale is much cheaper at the farmer's market than at the grocery store.
It's crazy expensive at the grocery store.
It's horrible. Now, there's a new recipe I have for kale.
Me too.
There's a new. Is it the one where you put it, the olive oil and the garlic? You spray it all over, and you put it in the oven, and it's like these very delicate chips of kale.
No, but that sounds
it's
delicious.
Very good.
I would like to try that.
It's very good. So you put your sea salt.
Okay.
You know, you got your kale, and then you have your you spray on your olive oil, and then you add some sea salt. You put it in the oven for about 15 minutes, and there are nice crisp leaves of kale. It's a wonderful appetizer.
I am going to try that. I do something incredibly similar, but I do it with chickpeas or garbanzo beans.
Mm-hmm.
And I make, I put them in the oven and I do it with the olive oil and the salt, and then it makes them crunchy, Senator.
Oh, Lord.
We don't even, we've had a...
We have a comedian.
We do. Everybody's a comedian in the Missouri State Senate.
It is olive oil, no salt.
I don't even, yeah.
I cannot respond to that.
You better not.
But as the senator did highlight, I am going through my transition of hair.
I did hear about that.
I am going through my transition, but I do not add kale to my hair.
No, you do not.
I did, by the way, put some olive oil in my hair yesterday.
Well, it looks fantastic.
Thank you.
And hopefully people won't walk by and become hungry because of...
Oh, no. I also put some coconut oil in my hair yesterday.
Excellent. Very good. Now, Senator, I agree. We need to have a conversation about access to fresh, healthy food. We need to have a conversation about true social programs that involve getting people jobs, getting them to their jobs,
absolutely.
And making sure their kids are taken care of while they're at work. Now, I understand there's a fundamental disagreement about what government's role is in job creation. I get that. But let's have that discussion. Let's talk about that. That is so much more fun to talk about than pictures on
There are a lot of ideas out there. You know, here's the fundamental question that I think is happening within the greater community of economic development. And I think I was reading something from NCSL over our break that discussed the difference between the conservative form of economic development and our progressive formulation of what economic development would look like. And there are those who believe that there should not be any state expenditures in order to have economic development.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I in some way agree with that, but for the most part, I disagree because I think that we need to find a niche. There's a conversation I had with one of my constituents this weekend about our state's ability to sell auto parts. One of our number one industries, our exports, is selling auto parts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's amazing. But why aren't we doing more? This is my constituent yesterday, in fact, said, why aren't we selling more auto parts throughout the world? And I said, you know, I don't know what DED's plan is. But if there's a plan that we can do, then I say let's go ahead and figure out a plan so that...
Three senators standing on the floor at the same time. Senator from the 8th, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, if you'd be so kind to put that on the informal calendar, I would appreciate it.
Senate Bill 474, with amendment pending, will be placed on the informal calendar. Senator from the 23rd. Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you please refer Senate Concurrent Resolution number 24, Senate Concurrent Resolution 25, and HCR 41 to the Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics?
Those bills will be so referred.
And, Mr. President, have we had a message from the governor?
There is a message from the governor.
It's my understanding that we have two addendums to a gubernatorial appointments list. Would you please refer those to the Gubernatorial Appointments Committee?
Those will be referred to the Gubernatorial Appointments Committee.
And, Mr. President, one more thing. Would you please refer House Bill 2014? No, disregard that, Mr. President. Thank you.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, would the Senate go to the order business of House bills on second reading?
Seeing no objection, we will go to House bills on second reading. Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2014, would you...
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2014, an act to appropriate money for supplemental purposes for the several departments and offices of state government.
Appropriations.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Announcements. Announcement, Senator from Lawrence.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee on the judiciary will meet immediately upon adjournment in the lounge.
Further announcements. Further announcements. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned under the rules.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We are adjourned under the rules.